Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
As leaders, we are all faced with complex and challenging problems, and we quickly realize that creativity is the critical business skill that will help us move forward. Frederick Herron is one of the world's leading experts on business creativity and author of the Idea Book. Originally from Sweden and currently living in Singapore, Frederick will address why creativity is more difficult than we often think and will help us learn how to become more creative as organizations and individuals. Please give a warm summit welcome to Frederick Herron.
Before I begin my talk, I want to ask you a few questions. I want to gauge your approach to creativity. And I want you to be honest. You don't have to be nice to me. I want you to be honest. Only raise your hand if you agree to the statement. Then I will do my talk. Okay, here we go. Question number one. How many of you think that being creative is important in your job? Raise your hand. Thank you. That was the easy one. Here comes the more interesting one. Question number two. How many of you think you actually are creative? Be honest. Okay, that was not supposed to happen. All right, question number three. How many of you think that your company or your organization is doing enough to develop the creativity of its employees? Doing enough? All right, back to normal. All right, so I've asked these three questions more than 2,000 times in more than 60 different countries. And every time I go there, every time I go to a country, every time I go to a company, I ask these questions. I want to figure out what is the approach that leaders have to creativity. So let's see how you compare to other groups. First question, is creativity important in your job? Yes. Everyone says yes. I knew you were going to say yes. Everyone always says yes. Even accountants say yes. I don't know why that was funny. So I knew you were going to say. The interesting one is the second question. Do you think you are creative? In this room, it was almost everyone. But this is because we are right now happen to be in North America. But this is being broadcast to all over the world. And if this was a truly global group, it would be less than half. The global average is less than half. It's about 45%. There are huge cultural differences. For example, I'm from Sweden. In Sweden, in Europe, it will tend to be maybe 60 to 80%. Western Europe, we tend to think that we are slightly more creative than the average person. We go across the Atlantic, we go to America, North America, what happens? Higher. Highest. 95%. North Americans think they're very, very creative. Now, I live in Singapore. I've been living in Asia for the last 12 years. Asia is the part of the world that brings the average down. Africa is all over the place, but Asia is below average. I live in Singapore, and Singapore is 20%. In Japan, it's 20%. And one country is even worse. Which country do you think has the lowest level of creative confidence? It's an Asian country, but which one? What do you think? In your head, what did you just say? Most of you said China. But China is high. China is like 90%. Why? Because big countries have big egos. China, Brazil, India, America, all score beyond 90%. It's not China, it is South Korea. I know, it's a big surprise. Last time I was in South Korea, 300 leaders in the audience, and there were big Korean companies like Samsung and Hyundai. I asked my questions, is creativity important in your job? Nay, 300 Koreans said yes. Second question, do you think you are creative? Not a single one. Out of 300, not a single one. I said, come on, someone, anyone? Someone who studied in America? One man raised his hand and said no. He just wanted to make a clarification. He said, no, not compared to Leonardo da Vinci. That's the Asian way. That's the humble way. Are you creative? No, not compared to the most creative person who has ever lived. What's the Western way of thinking? Are you creative? Oh, yes, compared to my brother. There is no correlation between creative confidence and creativity. South Korea, America is one of the most creative countries on earth, but South Korea is also one of the most creative countries on earth. There is no correlation. But then we have the third question. Do you think your company is doing enough to develop the creativity of its employees? No. Two people say yes, HR manager. And person sitting next to HR manager. And that's not a joke. It literally happened 3 times. Today, I'm going to talk about creativity. I'm going to talk about why it is difficult. And I'm going to talk about why I believe that that's the number one thing that a leader has to do, is to make the people that work for him or her more creative. Because if everyone says creativity is more important, most people say it's an important skill, but I don't have it. And everyone, regardless if they think they are creative or don't think they are creative, every single one says, my company is not doing enough to develop the creativity of me. But that, I think, is what imagine if a leader could do that. So I'm going to start now by talking about what is the definition of an idea, because I think people need to understand. We have this mystical idea about creativity, like it's something magical that just pops into your head. I like to look at it like this. An idea is that one person takes two formerly known things and combines them in a new way. That's all we have to do. One person takes two formerly known things and combines them in a new way. We cannot create out of nothing. Only God can create out of nothing. And he did. We, as mortals, we can just combine what already has been created. So I'll show you a very simple example. So one guy in Lithuania, he took two previously known things, he combined them in a new way. He took the concept of a sink, which is a previously known thing, and he took the concept of the urinal, which is a previously known thing, two everyday objects. Now you take a sink and a urinal, you combine the two, what do you get? I have to tell you this, I did this in America recently, and I swear to you, a guy said, sink, urinal, combined, what do you mean, shower? I think that's called too much information. No, you take a sink and a urinal, you combine the two, and you get this. Now, the men get it, but the women are still confused. So this is how it works. First, you pee. Then you wash your hands. The water used to wash your hand is now reused to flush your pee away. Raise your hand if you think this is a good idea. 90% of you will say so, because it is a good idea for multiple reasons. Reason number one, it saves water. And in many parts of the world, this is a huge problem. We would reduce the amount of water used when men urinate by 50%. But not only that, we also save space. And if we save space, we save rent, which means we save money. But not only that, we also save time, because now we don't have to walk over to the sink. It's actually good for a fourth reason too. Women like to point out to me. It now increases the chance of men washing their hands. Like we don't do that. I'm not showing you this idea because I think it's worthy of a Nobel Prize. I'm showing you this because it's such a simple product, a urinal. And after 2,000 years, someone was able to make it better by combining it in a new way we haven't seen before. And that is the potential of creativity. It's unlimited. So the definition of creativity looks like this. An idea equals that a person takes knowledge and information and combines it in a new way. A person takes knowledge and information and combines it in a new way. That's all we have to do. That's what people have to understand. It is not magical. It is easy. But the trick here is the plus. We put a lot of emphasis on giving people access to knowledge. We get a lot of access on giving people access to information, but we put very little emphasis on teaching people the plus. And the plus is what makes the difference. And normally now I would just move on. But because I'm speaking to leaders, I'm going to do something I normally don't do. I'm going to give you a second example of someone who took two things and combined them, and this time I'm going to go show you an example of me. You see, I believe that you expect at a conference like this, like this, assume I was here to talk about climbing Mount Everest. You would then assume that I had actually climbed Mount Everest. If I'm here to talk to how to build a multi-billion dollar company, you would assume that I have built a multi-billion dollar company. And if I'm here to talk about creativity, you as leaders, you expect me to give an example of my own creativity, yes or no? Put your money where your mouth is. Walk the talk. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to show you an example of how I took two previously known things and I combined them. Are you ready? Are you ready to be blown away by my creative genius? I sense a bit of hesitation. Anyway, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. I took two previously known things. I combined them in a new way. I took the concept of a book. Book are nothing new. I took the concept of a notebook. Notebooks are nothing new. Now you take a book and a notebook. You combine the two. What do you get? You get a book and a notebook. So here's my book. It's 50% book. Here you can read how you can become a more creative person. It's 50% notebook. Here you can write down all the brilliant ideas you get when you read my book. It's not a book. It's not a notebook. It's a book and a notebook. It's an idea book. Oh, thank you. Who was that man? There you go. I'm sorry, but pity doesn't help. But thank you. See, now we have a problem. I show you a urinal, and you go, oh, that's amazing. I show you my idea. Hello, I'm in the room. And you go, huh? That's your idea? Some stupid white pages into a book? So here's lesson number one. Just because a room of people don't recognize creative genius when it's being presented to them doesn't mean the idea is not good. It only means the group is not good at seeing creative genius being presented to it. But I need to do something now. I need to rebuild credibility. I need to get you to think that this idea was at least not bad, not worthy of laughter. Didn't you learn anything in the previous sessions? Don't laugh. Do you know how many copies the average business book sells? Only 3,000 copies. It's very difficult to sell many books. Why? Because there are hundreds of thousands of business books, but companies only buy, on average, one management book or one leadership book per manager per year. The budget for management books is very small. And you want to have a bestseller, you have to sell in bulk. It's very tricky. The average big book sells 3,000 copies. But I don't sell a book. I sell a notebook. Notebooks are not bought on the budget for management books. Notebooks are bought on the budget for stationery. And how big is the budget for stationery? Ka-ching! The average business book sells 3,000 copies in the world, in its lifetime. I have, in Singapore alone, sold 15,000 copies, and I self-publish my books. I have, in Sweden alone, sold 150,000 copies, and I have, in Iceland alone, hello, Iceland, sold 3,000 copies. How many people live in Iceland? 300,000 people. That means that 1% of a country's population has bought my book, and that's better, I think, than Harry Potter. Hopefully, the respect is back in the room. I know I'm not a creative genius, but you have to agree that was slightly better than you thought first. And that's my point. We're not supposed to laugh at someone just because they present an idea. We need to at least listen to first, why do you think it's a good idea? And it's so important right now. Why? Because we are living in a time, I've been speaking about creativity for more than 20 years. It's never been more important than now. The speed of innovation is increasing and we need people to keep up. When I was born 50 years ago, this was literally science fiction. Imagine a robot that cleans our home. Literally, science fiction. 50 years later, here it is. Can I tell you this? I did this speech in Sweden recently, and I showed this picture, and a guy in the back raised his hand and said, excuse me, which one is the robot? It turns out he was a robot expert. And he said, that round thing was a cool robot 10 years ago, but today, no one will care. But if you go to a robot exhibition and you show that guy, people might get interested. And that means that we need something which I call idea perception. And I think it's so important that you teach your people the ability to see that the world is changing and understand what that means. Idea perception is the specific kind of creativity. It's your ability to see that the world has changed. So we're now going to see if you have idea perception. We're going to use my book, my industry as an example, the book industry. What is a big change that just happened in the book industry? For 500 years, the book didn't change. And then suddenly, in the last 5 years, everything happened. What is the big change? We went from book to? Everyone at the same time. Book to? Book to e-book. That's what everyone says. Except everyone is wrong. You see, that's not what happened. We didn't go from book to e-book. Ask yourself this question. When did people used to read books? Like 10, 15 years ago. On the bus, on the subway, on the airplane, 15 minutes before going to sleep and on vacation. When do people read books now? On vacation. What do people do on the bus, on the subway, on the airplane, and 15 minutes before going to sleep? What do they do? What do you do? See, we didn't go from book to e-book. We went from book to Facebook, okay? Book to YouTube, book to Twitter, book to Angry Birds. Only 3% went from book to e-book. I can prove it to you. These are pictures I've been taking recently in airports. This is in Manila. And I know one of them is reading a book, but first, don't get too excited. Why is he reading a book? He ran out of battery. That's absolutely correct. But the other three are on gadgets, and none of them is on reading an e-book. They're playing games. This is in Kuala Lumpur, one family. They rather share one computer than read something on paper. But my next picture is my favorite. It's the perfect symbol of what is happening in the book industry right now, and it is the most depressing picture you will ever see. It's going to make you cry if you believe in books. Actually, if you believe in humanity, it's going to make you cry. Some people think that this picture somehow is fake because it's so good, like I staged it or something. No. She doesn't know I'm taking the picture, and I took the picture myself. It actually happened, and it's going to make you cry. Are you ready? Happened in Singapore about 3 years ago. Look at this. This is a woman pretending to read a book. But she's not reading a book. She is watching a movie on her iPhone. And the book just died. Not totally, but kind of. And that is the problem. The problem is now that we are in this rapid change, not ready for this change, because we as human beings are not very good at change. Not very good at change. So I'm going to tell you a story to symbolize this. But before I do that, I need to ask you kind of a question. Are there any Germans in the room? Oh, they're all in the same place. How very German. <laughs> All right, so let's see, Germans, do you have a sense of humor? I think they said yes. I'm going to assume they said yes. So this story is about a German, okay? And my brother from Sweden. So here's my brother. This is not my brother. This is a swimming pool. So my brother comes down, he's on vacation, he comes down to the hotel swimming pool. There's no one in the pool is empty, okay? There's one man sitting here, he's the German. So my brother comes into the swimming pool, jumps into the swimming pool and starts to swim. So let me ask you a question. How are we supposed to swim in a swimming pool? Anyone help me out. How are we supposed to swim? Huh? Which way? There you go. Very good. Like this. Are you German? Yeah. We're supposed to swim like this, up and down, up and down. Let me ask you why. What is the reason? There must be a reason. What is the reason? Because... anyone help me out? Why? The lines. No, there's no lines. Never mind the lines. It's longer. See? Was that you who said that? Yeah. It's always a man who gives me the answer. And he always very, very confident when he gives me the answer. Like I'm asking the most stupid question in the world. I say, why are we swimming like this? It's the longest. Move on, okay? Sir? This is longer. So women, this has nothing to do with my speech, but just because a man sounds very confident when he says something doesn't mean he's right. Only means he's confident. No, the reason we swim like this is not because it's the longest. It's the longest without annoying anyone. That is the reason. But remember, I told you there was no one in the swimming pool. There was no one to annoy. So my brother swam like this. But here's the problem. This part of the swimming pool was in the shadow. And every time my brother comes into this part of the swimming pool, it became cold and uncomfortable. But he continues to swim like this because you're supposed to swim like this. Then suddenly my brother has an idea. He says, wait, I'm the only person in the pool. I can swim anywhere I want. So he starts to swim like this. German man stands up. True story. Walks up to the swimming pool, looks at my brother and says, excuse me, you are swimming the wrong way. My brother thinks he's kidding, so he says, yes, I know. He continues to swim. Like... but the Germans are not kidding, okay? The German man comes back. This time he's angry, screaming at my brother. He says, excuse me, I told you are swimming the wrong way. So my brother does the Swedish thing, which is to explain himself. He says, I know I'm supposed to swim like this. Actually, I did swim like this. But you see, this part was in the shadow, became cold and uncomfortable. So I thought, maybe I can swim like this. And since there's no one else in the swimming pool, I'm not disturbing anyone. German says, you are disturbing me. My brother gets so shocked, he starts to swim like this again. But then he says to himself, to his credit, he says, who is this man to tell me how I am supposed to swim in a swimming pool? So he starts to swim like this again. And then start to swim in circles. What is the lesson here? The lesson is that most of us are just like my brother and or the German. It's nothing against Germans. It's all of us. But the people that you are leading are so stuck in doing things the way we used to do them because that's how someone told us how to do it. and no one thinks we're doing enough to help them solve the problem. But imagine if we did. Imagine if we had, as leader, the focus and the priority to say, one of the most important things I have is to teach my people or make my people more creative. Imagine the potential of making the world better. So how do you do it? Well, you don't do it by talking about creativity. You don't do it by adding innovation and creativity into your mission statements. You don't get it by talking about creativity. You don't even do it by teaching creativity, not even buying a creativity book. You do it by doing creative things yourself as a leader. Because people are inspired to be creative. They look at someone else doing something creative and they say, if she can do that, I can do that too. So think about this. Write this down. What is the most creative thing I've been done as a leader? What is the most creative thing I could do as a leader? You see, the word creativity comes from the word create. And the word create is closely connected to the word creator. And the word creator means God. We are never, I would argue, never closer to God than we have when we have a really, really, really good idea. We can sense God. I urge you to develop your creativity so that you may inspire your people to be more creative, because that is how we create a better world. Good luck with that, and thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.